Welcome back to HealthLink On Air. Linda Cohen along with my HealthLink On Air producer, Steve Marks. And once again, we have psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with us.
Hello again.
And last week, we had such an interesting conversation and a very compelling one about what to do when a parent, an aging parent, is no longer able to drive in that case.
Yeah. Or a friend or sibling.
Right.
I hate to say it.
Right. And we were talking about, you know, all the complexity, especially the anger that often comes forth and how you as a child of that aging parent can deal with it, the guilt and the discomfort.
We thought we needed to talk more about it because as we were wrapping up last week and running out of time, you had made this great point about the fact that I think sometimes we're trying to figure out how to talk to an aging parent, mom or dad, and I think dad came to mind when we were talking, and take the car keys away and say, I don't think you're able to drive anymore, and know that he's not going to accept that. He's going to be very upset about that. And you made this great point. Yep, that's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that we just have to ask ourselves, well, what's the problem if the person is angry with us?
Right.
You know, they will survive them being angry. They might not survive a car accident, or somebody else might not survive a car accident.
Right.
You know, anger does eventually usually go away. They might, and especially if they have Alzheimer's, you know, they're going to forget what happened.
Right. No, it's true.
I don't mean to make a joke about it, but
no,
that's the fact.
True.
You know,
it's
they'll
true.
Get mad,
yeah.
and you know, then they'll forget. And you know, if you have a reasonable way to take care of them and make sure they can still be independent without the car keys, they're going to realize, oh, you're actually still taking care of them, and they're not.
Right.
Being abandoned and et cetera.
Is the same true when you have to make the decision to help them move into, let's say, an assisted living situation because they can't cook for themselves, they can't do the...
Oftentimes that's the case, Linda, that people feel... They have some kind of emotional attachment to staying independent, as everybody does. You know, it took years to learn how to be independent. We don't want to give it up. It's a great thing. So... When you're thinking, you know, your folks might have to move into a nursing home, you do have to face the fact that they might not like that. You have to be convinced yourself that it's actually a good idea. I did something when I was, you know, my aunt's doctor told me he thought she couldn't live on her own anymore. I wasn't convinced, you know. I went and stayed with her for a few days. The first time I moved into her house for that night, I asked her to cook some dinner, and I hid in the living room and peeked around the corner. In like six or seven minutes, she had a fire going on the stove with a piece of tinfoil directly on the burner on the stove, and she was oblivious to the fire. She didn't see the fire in this, and I'm watching this. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, the guy was right. Let me get the fire extinguisher and put this out, you know?
Sometimes it takes something like that, I guess.
You know,
you just hope it's not tragic.
And you collect the data, then you know, and then you feel like, okay, now I can act.
Right.
And now I know I have to stand up and say, it's not acceptable. You can't live like this anymore. We have to put you in the home. And I know you're mad about it. We'll take care of that.
But one of the points I think that needs to be made, and you made it in an earlier discussion, was that you really may not have complete control over some of these things. And the notion that you can fix everything or that you can be in control is illusory. I mean, it's true even if you're with your adolescent or adult kids.
We have a lot of trouble accepting. We're in the can-do world, in the can-do country, right? We think we can fix everything. And the fact is we have to accept sometimes that we might not have the choice. Like if we say we think you should go into a home, or we think you should give us the car keys, the person may refuse and give us a fight, and we have a long fight. And they may do something that will be very costly to them. They may have a car accident. They may fall down the stairs. They may start a house fire, etc. And we have a lot of trouble accepting that we don't have control over some of those things. Somebody refuses, and unless we can convince their doctor to take away their car keys or a court to do it, which we may not be able to do, we have to stand there and watch them make terrible, potentially terrible mistakes. It's very difficult for us to do that, to know we're helpless in some situations. That's where the stress comes from. The stress comes from not being able to accept that we're really helpless in a lot of situations. And this may be one of them. Hopefully, we're able to take the steps before it gets to that place to try to reason with the person, to try to f- gather the family resources to do it, but sometimes we can't.
So in the situation where you could have that same experience with a teenager who's out driving with a license who gets into a terrible accident, even though you've told them many, many times, don't have the radio blaring, don't have a million kids in the backseat, what have you, how do you deal, what do you recommend to people who are in that position who may have the elderly parent who they're dealing with a situation like that and a kid at the same time? That stress level's got to be sky high.
Well, it can be. If you, well, for me, if it was my kid and they were actually driving with the you know, extra kids in the car, so I would take the car keys away. I would say, that's it. You know, you're not going to drive anymore.
Especially if it's your car. Now, that sort of gives you some control over the situation.
Well, yeah, and I even think, if it's not your car.
I think the interesting thing is, they're your kid, yes. Yeah. And, you know, whether it's adult children, it's siblings that are adults that are making bad decisions, I think you make a good point in that sometimes we have to accept that it doesn't feel good knowing that this is going on.
And we don't have control. Right. Same thing with somebody who's addicted. You know, we have no control. Learning to accept that, talking to other people who are in the same kind of situation, other people who have elderly parents who are unreasonable and insane, doing things that don't make any sense and you can't get them to stop. It's a comfort to us. It's less stressful if we have someone to talk to about it.
And knowing that even if we have no control, somehow we can find peace with that. Because that's a great, great skill.
Working to find the peace in ourselves about what we can't control outside of us is, in fact, a tremendous skill. It totally changes our life. Yeah. And
well,
it takes practice.
Many of us are out there trying to balance that seesaw. Yes. Well, thanks again so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
We have always so much to learn from you. Thanks again.
Thank you.